This is Pentecost. Everything is different. Everything is new. Everything. This is the birth of the church. The wind swirls, a hurricane blows, the stale air is forced out, the dust disappears in an instant. The air is fresh, the light is all around, the Holy Spirit enters our lives and we become a new creation. It turns us around, turns our lives upside down, blows away the stale and the old. Christ enters our lives and we are made new. We are made whole. This is the birth of the church. We are gathered here in this place, in this time, to be something new, to refresh the old, to reboot the past, to be the church God created us to be the new creation. This is the Pentecost. God is here. Christ is here. The Spirit is here, and we are part of it. We are the new creation.
Amen, amen. It is Pentecost Sunday. Come on. Can I get a hand for the Lord today? Acts chapter 2 says it this way. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And Acts 2:4 says, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. All of them. That's what I love about Pentecost Sunday as we celebrate today, and what I love about being Pentecostal is this, the belief that God has a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, with the initial physical evidence of speaking in tongues for all of us. And today we celebrate that. And so would you stand this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to open up this service. And I'm excited to worship with you today. I'm excited to share with you the word and share with you encouragement in today as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that in Acts 2:4, as the believers were gathered in the upper room, as they were gathered there, Lord, your Spirit fell. And tongues of fire separated on each one's head, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray right now that you would just be in this place today. Lord, your presence would not just be amongst us, but it would be on us. And that, Lord, that you would saturate our hearts and saturate our spirits. And may we be encouraged today. Lord, may we lift up your name. And may you, Lord, continue to lift your people. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Turn and greet someone this morning as we begin service. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and glad that you are all here. Hopefully you got to greet a couple of people. Maybe you got to greet three or four people. Anybody greet more than five people? All right, yeah? All right, awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, glad to be once again in the house of the Lord, and want to just say we're so happy that all of you are here, but want to just give a special welcome and greeting to those of you who may be visiting today. If this is your first time here, or maybe your second time here, and we didn't catch you last time, we want to just say, hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for coming in and joining in service with us. And we'd ask you to take the card in the seat back in front of you. It's just right there in front of you there in the pocket. And if you'd fill that card out and place it in the offering that's going to go by in just a few moments, that would help us to have a record of your attendance and just helps us to be able to say hi to you. And thanks for being here. And to all of you who have been here week after week, we're glad you're back too. And pray that you're going to be blessed today in service. We have a few announcements. Next Sunday, missionary Karen Kuhn and Jessica Gutierrez of Lift Ministries will be here. Lift stands for Living in Freedom Today, and they minister at the Mabel Bassett Prison in McLeod, Oklahoma, and they'll be here sharing with us about their ministry, so you're not going to want to miss that tremendous ministry that they do, and we want to encourage you to be here. We still need some help with nursing home ministry, and that is on Thursdays at 3 p.m. right here at our Noble Healthcare facility. It's for those who can't get out and worship with us in a traditional setting like this, but they still want to worship the Lord. They still want to be challenged through the Word, and they want to join together with other believers. And so if that's something that you'd be willing to do, maybe you say, I can't do every Thursday, but I could do one Thursday or something of that nature, just come see myself, or you can see Pastor Steve in the coming weeks, and let us know, and we'll get you hooked up with that. It's usually about a 30-minute service or commitment, and so you drive over there and maybe do some songs and do a devotional or whatever, and just challenge and love on people. How many know it's the Lord wants us to love on one another? Amen? Amen. Amen. We got prayer meeting, obviously, here on Wednesday nights. We'd love to challenge you to be here from 7 to 8:15. The adults are in here. And then we have youth service. We have kids ministry down the hall. And so Wednesday night starting at 7. And this Wednesday, we do something during the summer in youth every Wednesday, and this Sunday is the world's biggest ice cream sundae. And if you've never seen us build the world's biggest ice cream sundae, well, come on Wednesday and come over and check it out, and it's pretty impressive. So anyway, we'll be doing that and having service and worship and all that like normal. Also, youth camp. If you've got a young person going to youth camp, we did all the work, got your emails, got it all ready so they could send out the form. And then they did camp one and thought, this is a terrible idea. It's not working at all. And so they have gone back to paper form. So you can get a paper camp form on the table, and you'll need to fill that out and have that ready for before we leave. And so if you have a kid, or you have a kid who has a friend that's going to, grab one for them also, and make sure that we get those forms filled out, because I have to take them with me on that Monday, which, by the way, camp is just a week from Monday. And so just crazy how fast things are happening. Missions trips 5 weeks from now. And then they had a great time at the quilting group, and it says beginning June 2nd. I don't know when the next one is. Every Thursday at 10 o'clock right here. They've been meeting in the back and doing quilting, and you're invited to come and hang out and be a part of that. And then Vacation Bible School is right around the corner, and we're getting close to being ready, and we're excited. The sign's out on the corner, and people can actually even register online. And so have a lot going on. So look at your bulletin, check it out, and know that there's enough things for everyone to be involved in, and we're just excited about what the Lord is doing. We ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. 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 Be in prayer for Pastor Steve. Still, he injured his back this week and called in the junior varsity to do service today. And so we just want to be in prayer for him that his back will, Miss Carol said he's starting to feel better after having gone to the doctor, and I think they gave him a steroid and some stuff, but we need him to feel tip-top shape. And so be praying for our pastor that he will feel 100%. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you once again for all you're going to do in service today. We thank you, Lord, for just all that you're doing in our church and through our church. We pray for the outreaches and the camps and the missions trips and VBSs and the different groups and things that are meeting. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing on Wednesday nights here at the church. And Lord, we pray right now for the tithe and offering. Lord, would you take the finances and multiply it so we can do even more for your service. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Once the offering bag passes, if you'll stand, we're going to go into worship.
Of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. And bring all your failures, bring your cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. See his open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power waiting. God so loved the world.
Aren't you excited that Jesus is waiting? That he loved us so much that he was willing to lay down his life for us.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And because of that, there's power in the blood of Jesus. And if we have faith and believe, we can ask anything in his name. And it will be given to us.
They say this mountain can be moved.
Unbreakable, God, we believe.
with things on our hearts, needs in our lives. And Father, we just proclaim it. We lay it at your feet and believe that you're going to take care of it. We just trust in you, and we expect great and mighty things. You know, I was reading in, I don't remember what book it is now. I think it was Kings, 2 Kings, where Elijah is about to go into heaven. And he keeps telling Elijah, just stay right here. And Elijah says, no, I'm staying with you. And he just keeps staying. He's like, every time Elijah says, you just stay here, I'm going to go a little bit further. And he goes, no, I'm staying. I'm going to go with you. And at the end, he asked him, what is it you'd have me to do for you? And he said, I want a double anointing. And Elijah said, if you're with me when I'm taken up to heaven, you'll have it. And sometimes I think in our lives that if we'll just keep holding on to Jesus and holding on to God and saying, God, I need this. I need this. This is in my life. And just keep going. He says, to knock and you receive. Seek and you will find. Ask and it'll be given unto you. Sometimes we ask once and we don't keep asking. But we need to keep knocking. And God, my child is away from you. They need you. Send someone. Send someone to them. Or maybe financially we're having difficulties. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Believe for it. Believe. And don't give up. Find me in the valley, standing with my hands held high. The valley will never take my song. Find me in the desert, holding on to you for life. The desert will never take my song. Oh, the desert will never take my song. And I will praise you. I will praise you. I won't let the storms cry. I won't let the storms cry out. And I will praise you. Something in me has to. I won't let the storms cry. I won't let the storms. Where you prophesied, still shouting of everything you've done. High up on the mountain, I was made to testify. Forever, you will have my song.
The greater the cause, the more I believe.
praise you. We don't want the stones to cry out because you deserve our praise. And I want to lift up your name and glorify your name today, for you deserve it. You're such an awesome God. We look at all the things around us, the rain that fell from the sky today. How awesome is that, God? The trees and the mountains and the ocean that you created. How awesome is that? For you are an awesome, amazing, wonderful God. And we just want to praise and worship you and glorify your name today. For you deserve it. Deserve it all, from your people, from your children, from your church. We just glorify you and worship you. Thank you, Jesus.
And you call the sun to rise, and you lay it down to rest, and you hold this heart up. Oh,
you're so faithful, you're so generous, you're so wonderful, you're so gracious, you're so merciful, Lord, you're the God of peace and of joy and of patience. Lord, you're the God who sacrificed his own son so that we may have life and have it more abundantly. This morning, if you're in this place and you've got a need today, I know a God who can meet that need. If you're in this place today and you have a need, would you just simply raise your hand and say, you know what, right now, I've got a need I need the Lord to minister to. Amen. 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 Hey, Ronnie, would you come down here and stand right here for me? My father-in-law is going to stand right here. I'm going to ask a few of you to surround him, and he's going to stand in for pastor today. So let me tell you something. Our pastor is under attack. The devil doesn't want pastor to do what he's supposed to be doing, and so he's faced different illnesses, and right now his back is, he's got a retreat he's supposed to go on this week, and with all the other leaders of our denomination here in Oklahoma, and he really wants to go on that, and I'm believing supernaturally God's going to touch his body. So we're just going to have Ronnie stand in for pastor today. All right. And we're just going to pray right now. Right now, we're going to pray for pastor, okay? Would you just extend your hands and let's just pray. Lord, right now, God, we ask, where we're two or more gathered to your name, there you are also. And so, Lord, we pray right now that as Ronnie stands in for Pastor Steve today, we pray, Lord, for healing in his body. We pray for healing from the top of his head to the tips of his toes. We pray that by your stripes you'd be made well. We pray, Lord, that the steroids they've given him, that's fine, and all the other things they've done to help his back and help his body, but Lord, we pray that that spine would line up. We pray there'd be no degeneration. We pray there'd be no weakness or no fatigue. Lord, we pray for strength in his body today. Lord, we pray for a supernatural touch, Lord, in his body, for Pastor Steve to be able to do what he needs to do, and we believe for that. And Lord, I pray right now for every need that was represented by the raising of hands. Lord, we pray right now that you would just begin to intervene in those situations. Lord, whether it be healing, whether it be financial, whether it be deliverance, Lord, whether it be salvation, Lord, we pray for every hand that was raised, and we believe with all of our heart that you are the God of the possible. And Lord, you make all things possible. And so we pray for these needs today. We pray, Lord, you would touch them today. And Lord, we pray that you would just be in the midst of your people, Lord. Bring peace, bring comfort. Bring, Lord, just the knowledge that, God, you will make a way. And we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you keep playing? Keep playing. Thank you, Ronnie, for standing in. I also feel today, just in my heart, I was singing, and I was just getting ready for the prayer time. And today, I don't know why, but today, how many of you know that this is just one part of the body of Christ, right? Noble Assembly is just one part. There are many bodies of believers meeting around the world, around Oklahoma, and even in this area, and they're worshiping. Right now, while we're worshiping, they're worshiping. And there'll be some in other time zones. Some have already worshiped. Some are yet to worship. But today, what I'd like to do is this. I would like us to be, and I'd like to challenge us to be kingdom-minded. How many of you know that the Lord's doing more than just the work that's happening here? He's doing work in the lives of believers everywhere. And today I want to focus in on just two really local. Today I want to pray for my two of my pastor friends and their churches. You're going, well, why are you praying? I'm just praying for them because they're on my heart. I'm just praying for them because there may be nothing going on, but at the same time, we're believing that God would move in their services today. So Pastor Justin Sims down at Purcell Memorial, I want to pray for him today. He's just down the road. road. He's a great man of God, and I'm believing for great things at Purcell Memorial. And then Pastor Jerry Drury over here at Norman Assembly of God, great friend of mine. And I'm believing today, can we believe today, not just for Noble, but for Purcell and for Norman today? And so would you just lift your hands to the Lord today, and let's just pray a prayer of blessing over our brothers and sisters in these other two churches. Lord, we pray right now, God, for Purcell Memorial. I pray out loud the name Pastor Justin Sims. I pray that Pastor Justin, if he's preaching today, whoever's preaching in the pulpit today, that the anointing would fall upon that place, and God, you would move in a mighty way. I pray for Norman Assembly of God today, and Pastor Jerry Drury. I pray, Lord, for my friend and co-laborer in Christ, that, Lord, you would just put the anointing of the gospel upon him today too. And I pray, Lord, that the word would saturate hearts today. And I pray, Lord, that people would come to know you. Lord, I thank you for the kingdom of God. I thank you for the churches that are laboring together, Lord, that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so the laborers will stick together, and we will join together, that people would come to know you. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, worship team. You're awesome. Way to go. Awesome. Thank you, worship team. They'll be coming up later to lead us in worship during our altar time and communion, but we appreciate what they do every single Sunday. Can I challenge you with a thought, just as we were praying over fellow churches? You know, one of the things that can help you really grow in the Lord is when you begin to pray for other people's needs. By nature, we're really good at praying for ourselves, and we can identify, we see our own needs, right? As we look in the mirror, as we live in amongst our own life. And one of the things that will build you spiritually is if you can set aside your own needs to pray for other people. And it unites you together. And so that is nowhere in my notes today. It wasn't anything I was going to say, but how many know the Lord's good and he knows exactly what we need to hear? Amen. 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 Well, Pastor was going to preach and finish up his series on the Holy Spirit, and we'll save that for next week or 2 weeks, because we've got a guest speaker next week. But he texted me on Friday and said, you might want to be prepared. On Saturday, he said, you definitely want to be prepared. And so I came over and got ready and excited to speak to you today. A message entitled, Carry Your Cross. Carry Your Cross. I put the cross behind as a visual aid today as we talk about carrying our crosses. Many of you know, maybe not all of you know, but before I came here, I was a senior pastor in Lone Grove, Oklahoma. How many of you guys know where Lone Grove is? Yeah, okay, yeah. It's just about 5 miles outside of, 4 to 5 miles straight outside of Ardmore. And while I was the pastor there, our youth group did this event just as a way to kind of a way of discipleship, a way of evangelism, a way of just, and I can't remember if they took pledges while they did they? And they were doing this for missions, was that right? For Speed the Light, they did it for Speed the Light. That was the one part I meant to ask you. So they took pledges for Speed the Light. And what they did was they took a cross just like this. It was similar in size. And they put our youth pastor at the time, he put a wheel on the bottom of the cross. And they carried the cross. And they didn't just carry the cross for a short distance. They mapped out a course. And they as a group, taking turns and doing all that they do, carried the cross 40 miles. They went 40 miles. And they went up. I told them, I said, you have to stay off I-35. That's not legal anyway. But they went up the side roads and all that. And they went up through and got up into like where Turner Falls is. I went up and did part of it with them. And remember that we took a rest right there at the Overlook. If you've ever been to the Overlook to look at the Turner Falls, the actual falls, we took a rest there. And they, like I said again, they took turns carrying the cross for 40 miles. I remember when my youth pastor told me he was going to do this. I was like, you know, 10 miles gets the point across. 5 miles would have got the point. 40 miles, that's a long ways to go. And they started really, really early, and it took them, I don't remember how many hours it took them, but it took them a long, long time. But they completed the entire 40-mile trek carrying the cross. And that's the challenge today, is that in life, in all that God has for us, that we wouldn't just carry the cross a short distance, we wouldn't just carry it most of the distance, but that we would finish the journey that God has for us. That when we get to the end of the journey, when we get to the end of the road, however far that is, when we get to the end of it, that we're still carrying the cross with us. Amen? Amen. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 38 says it this way. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 38. My eyes aren't that good. Then he called the Lord to him along with his disciples and said, he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it? I use this verse a lot. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. What did Jesus mean? What did Jesus mean when he said, take up your cross? What did he mean when he said, take up your cross? Let's begin with what Jesus didn't mean. What Jesus didn't mean. Many people interpret the cross as some burden they must carry in their lives. Oh, a strained relationship, a thankless job, a physical illness, and with some type of self-pity or pride, we've heard it said, well, that's just my cross to carry. That's my burden to carry. And such an interpretation is not exactly what Jesus meant when he said to take up your cross and follow me. When Jesus carried his cross up Golgotha to be crucified, no one was thinking of the cross as symbolic of a burden to carry. There was no symbolism in it. It was a literal cross. Jesus carried a literal cross up Golgotha. To a person in the first century, the cross meant one thing and one thing only. When he was challenging them with this thought, it meant one thing, and that's this: death by the most painful and means human beings could develop. My goodness. I've been hanging out with Pastor Steve too long. Humiliating. Oh, I got it. All right, let me try it again. Death by the most painful and humiliating. Most painful and humiliating means human beings could develop. 2,000 years later, let me just move on. 2,000 years later, Christians view the cross as a cherished symbol of atonement. Atonement for what? Of our sins. That's right. Atonement of our sins. For forgiveness, right? Because what did Jesus say while on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. For grace, giving us something that we had not earned, and of love. Today, we look at the cross and we think of atonement. We think of forgiveness. We think of grace. We think of love. But in Jesus' day, the cross represented nothing but torturous death. Because the Romans forced convicted criminals to carry their own crosses to the place of crucifixion. Bearing a cross meant carrying their own execution device while facing the ridicule all along the way to death. Could you imagine? Could you imagine knowing that you've been sentenced to death and you had to carry your own execution device? Therefore, take up your cross and follow me means we are willing that if we're going to do that, that means we're willing to face suffering. It means we're willing to face shame. It means we're willing to face ridicule. We're willing to face rejection and self-denial and even death in order to follow Jesus. To take up our cross and to follow Jesus means to abandon the comforts of this world. It means to put aside the things that make us comfortable, the things that the approval of man, the comfort of this world. To take up a cross means that I'm willing to give it all up. The truth is that the crosses were heavy. They placed upon their backs and they drug them. They took them up to the place of execution. Have you ever carried something that was so heavy you needed somebody's help to pick it up? I go to Sam's Club sometimes and they'll have those, you know, they'll have a grill or they'll have something. And they always put on that little symbol that says team lift. You know what I'm talking about? That little symbol. It's supposed to tell you. You know what that says to me? Challenge, right? Oh, yeah? We'll see if that's what it used to mean. Now it means I need to bring Elliot and Braylon. So I only need one if it's just one person to pick up. If I need two, I got to bring them both. So we've all had things that were, but the cross was so heavy that it would have taken concentration. You would not have been able to place anything else in your hands because you would have needed both hands to carry the cross. The truth is that it's the same thing in life. To truly carry the cross for the Lord, then we can't hold on to anything else. The truth is, to carry the cross, the weight of the cross and all that the cross demands, then we can't have any other side things distracting us. We've got to stay to the task. It means that we may face some suffering. You ever suffered for your relationship with Jesus? Have you ever lost friendships because of your relationship with Jesus? Have you ever had to have tough conversations because of your relationship with Jesus and what he's asked you to do? Have you ever faced ridicule? Have you ever been on social media? If you have, you've faced ridicule. Just saw the other day another article about a pastor who had a moral failure. And I did a really dumb thing. I read the comments. How many of you go to something and you go, I really should not read these comments. But then you know what I mean? But then you do. You're like, these comments are not going to do anything good for you, but you do it anyway. I'm reading these comments, and basically, I'll just summarize the comments. All pastors are bad. Right? You ever faced ridicule? You ever faced rejection? To do these things is called dying to self. It's a call to absolute surrender. If we're going to carry the cross, then we can't place even in our hands our own plans. We can't say, well, God, I'm going to do what you have for me to do. I'm going to carry the cross that you have for me to carry. I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. But I also got this side thing I also need to do too. It asks for absolute surrender. Mark chapter 8, 35 through 36 again says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit his very self? I quote this verse a lot. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but lose his soul? What does it profit a man to gain? Now listen, how many of you have ever had somebody quote a scripture, but the way they quote it like they brought in their own translation. You know what I mean? You're like, I'm not exactly sure that's how that scripture goes. You know what I mean? So I'm just going to confess, side note on this, I misinterpret the scripture a lot. How many of you ever use scripture on your kids for your own good? Let's be honest, all right? So sometimes in my house, I might say, what does it profit a child to keep all the cookies from his father but lose his soul? You know? Sometimes I have misinterpreted this scripture, but today I will preach it hermeneutically correct, all right? And the scripture says this, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world? You could get everything. You could get to every plan you have, every degree, every position, every amount of wealth, every part of possession that you want, every friendship, every network, every fill in the blank of what you want, every award. You could get all of that and yet lose your soul, because the only thing that really matters is the plan of Jesus Christ. You got to take up the cross. Sometimes we've got to set aside things that we think, oh, but God, I'd be so good at this. And yet God says, I know you are. I gave you those giftings, but I need you to use it in this way. Over the course of my time in ministry, as I've networked and been involved with different people, whether it be running the candy sale that I run for the statewide, or whether it be with some businessman, or that I've been over the course of ministry in the 20 years, I can't tell you how many times people have offered me a job. Man, with you, I mean, with the way you network, man, you could make really good money doing fill in the blank. You know what? You could sell ice to an Eskimo. I'm telling you right now, you really, World's Finest Chocolate has tried to hire me, I don't know how many times. All right? Oh, but you know how much money, and they start throwing that money here. Listen very carefully. Just because God gave you a gifting doesn't mean that you get to decide how to use that gifting. I think we're all in full understanding that pastoring probably isn't the most profitable on earth. We've talked about this before, job on earth. But it's the most rewarding. At least for me it is, because it's what God's called me to. The thing that will be most rewarding to you is to take up your cross and to do what God has called you to do. Oh, the world will give you some offers. And they may even be better financially. They may even be a little more fancy and look better on the outside. But can I tell you something? Although the call is tough, the reward is matchless. There isn't nothing this world can offer that will match the reward that God has waiting for you if you'll just pick up your cross and do what he called you to do. Come on. Wherever Jesus went, he drew crowds. And although these multitudes often followed him because he was the Messiah, their view of who the Messiah really was and what he would do was distorted. If you read scripture, you understand that they thought, many of the early Christians and the early church thought that Jesus had come to usher in a restored kingdom that they were going to overthrow. They believed he would free them from the oppressive rule of the Roman occupiers. We're going to war. Who likes a little action movie? Let's go. All right. They thought he was John Wayne. We're taking down the bad guys. Let's go. In Luke chapter 19, verse 11, we even see that even Christ's own inner circle of disciples thought the kingdom was coming soon. It says right here, while they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. It's like right now, we're going to do it right this second. They thought that everything that Jesus was talking about was going to happen overnight. Well, let's go. Let's make it happen. Let's get them. So in Luke chapter 9, verse 22, when he began teaching that he was going to die at the hands of the Jewish leaders, his popularity began to sink. Says, and he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. What, killed? No. What do you mean killed? We got to overcome the Roman occupation. We got to do this. Truth is that while we were carrying the cross, this is back in Lone Grove, we were carrying the cross. There were some places where the shoulder had lots of room, and then the other places where it kind of pushed us closer to on the road. And how many know that makes you nervous, right? So you're telling the kids, you know, stay to the side, and you're being vigilant, you're watching cars, and we had adults in the front and in the back and making sure that, you know, cars went around and whatever. And most of them were really kind and nice, and they would wave or whatever, and they, you know, thought it was pretty neat and cool and whatever. But we did have some people that, even though we were carrying a cross, I think a cross has got to be one of the most non-threatening things to be carrying around. I mean, most people in America today understand the symbolism of the cross. But even though we were carrying the cross, people yelled at us to get off the road. You know, honked the horn at us, rolled down their windows. You need to get off the road! We were over to the side. We weren't in the middle. We just needed some room not to be in the grass and in the ditch. And so we, you know, they would yell. Here's the truth, is that ridicule will come. If you're not being ridiculed for the stand you have for Christ, then we're probably not doing it right. Because ridicule will come. Ridicule, but the world doesn't understand the nature of the cross. Are you willing to carry the cross even if it's in the path of someone? It's easy to carry the cross if you're around other people who are serving Jesus. It's easy to carry the cross. But what about when you have to go into the workplace? What about when you have to go around relatives that you know don't love Jesus? What about when you have to go into other places where you're not surrounded by Christians? What happens when the cross, when the life you're living stands in the path of someone else? That's when it gets tough, right? It gets tough when carrying the cross gets in the way of somebody else and maybe the way that they want to do things. I would tell you this. The world is comfortable with the idea of Jesus as long as it's not in the way of their plans. Oh, they love Jesus. Oh, they got a bumper sticker. Oh, they got a t-shirt. They're fine with the idea of Jesus until the nature and the gospel of Jesus Christ stands in the way of what they want to do. Are you with me today? Can I challenge you, if we're going to carry the cross, if we're going to carry the cross, that we have to hold strong to the values of Jesus Christ? That the testing of the cross doesn't actually happen while you're carrying it by your out in the middle of nowhere. The testing of the cross comes when those who don't believe in the cross begin to crowd in. What happens when people who aren't living for Jesus get close to the cross? Do we compromise the gospel, or do we hold strong to what we believe in? Truly, the crowds were not able to put to death their own ideas and plans and desires and exchange them for his. The problem with the crowd was this: they wanted it a certain way. The problem with the crowd was that they thought it should be a certain way. And the truth is, those who at first said, "We love Jesus," ultimately said, "Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas." They crucified him on that cross. I don't think living in America, there are very, very few people who have to give their actual life, their physical life, for the cross. But we do have to stand up against ridicule. Following Jesus is easy when life runs smooth, but our true commitment to God is revealed during trials. You know, the first 10 miles that we were walking, kids were in a great mood. They were just picking flowers. They were looking at the wildlife. They're like, oh, this is great. We're having fun. Oh, you want me to take it? Sure, I got it. They took a turn, then the cross, you know what I mean? And hey, you doing good? I'm like, yeah, I just got it. I'll give you in a little bit. And they were trading the cross back and forth and carrying it. Everything was good the first 10 miles. But then blisters started to form. And muscles started to get tight. And stomach started to growl. They were like, hey, when's lunch? When's dinner? When's snack time? I'm out of water. I need more water. Can I get in the lead car? Because we had a car that was kind of, you know, that would stay around to make sure everybody was safe. I'd like to get in the air conditioning, please. And they started rotating. Well, I'm just going to go a little bit in here, and then I'll get back out, right? The road got longer. After 10 miles, it got steeper, and it got a lot hotter, a lot hotter. And each member that was walking with the cross that day had to make a choice. Would they keep going? Would they keep going? John chapter 16, verse 33 says this. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you have trouble, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Jesus assured us that trials would come to his followers. We know that if we're going to carry the cross, it's not always going to be easy. Some days are easier than others, right? Some days your kids cooperate, and other days you just want to say, you know, cast the demon out. Some days, it's just peaches and cream, husband and wife. And other days, you know, wives, you thought you had him trained, but you didn't. Some days, everything's going good. And other days, your car just randomly decides to break. The ONG decides to triple their bill or double or whatever they've done to me lately. Ridiculous. Some days you got some in leadership. And some days you got other people in leadership, and gas is $5. Some days you're feeling your best. And other days you wake up like I did yesterday and thought, how in the world did I pull a muscle in my sleep? Anybody ever been there? I'm getting old. So the question is, how do you respond when trials come? Do you just lay down the cross? That's it. It's too hot. It's too steep. I'm too tired. My muscles are tight. There's blisters forming. The road is too long. I need water. I need food. I need whatever. I need peace and quiet. I need somebody to adopt all my children and take them away because I'm done with them. I don't know why I looked at the Velasquez. I guess because we're kindred spirits. It's like, there's so many of them. They're like a gang. They're like a gang that lives in my house, and I missed initiation. They all got in, and we didn't. I don't know. But they still expect us to feed them. Do you lay down the cross, or do you keep going? Discipleship demands sacrifice. Discipleship demands sacrifice. Carrying the cross demands sacrifice. Carrying the cross demanded the ultimate sacrifice. And here's the truth, is that Jesus has never hidden that cost. Jesus never lied to us. He told us in the scripture that to carry the cross would take sacrifice. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62, it says this, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And he said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. So two more? There we go. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. When Jesus questioned, three people seemed willing to follow Jesus, but when he questioned them further, their commitment was half-hearted at best. They failed to count the cost of following him. None was willing to take up his cross and crucify upon it his own interest. Therefore, Jesus appeared to dissuade them. If you're not willing to pay the price, don't do it. How different from the typical gospel presentation. How many people would respond to an altar call that went like this? Come follow Jesus, and you may face the loss of friends, family, reputation, career, and possibly your life. Well, that sounds like a beacon of hope, doesn't it? But the truth is we need to be honest as a church that we want people to give their hearts to Jesus, but there's a cost to it. There's a cost to carrying the cross. That it's not as I've heard evangelists say before, salvation is not fire insurance. It's not just so that you can avoid hell. It's one byproduct of it, eternal life. But salvation takes upon it such a much longer, larger context. Such a call is what Jesus meant when he said, take up your cross and follow me. If you wonder if you're ready to take up your cross, consider these questions. Are you willing to follow Jesus, even if it means losing some of your closest friends? If you had to change friendships, if you had to change relationships, if you had to change people that you network with, would you still be willing to take up the cross and follow Jesus? Are you willing to follow Jesus even if it means alienation from your family? What if some of your family pushed you away? Are you willing to do it anyway and take up your cross? Are you willing to follow Jesus even if it means the loss of reputation? Not loss of reputation because you did something bad, but simply because people reject what you've done. Are you willing to follow Jesus even if it means losing your job? Are you willing to follow Jesus even if it means losing your life? In some places of the world, these consequences are even more of a reality. But notice how the questions are phrased. Are you willing? Are you willing? Following Jesus doesn't mean all these things will necessarily happen to you, but are you willing for them to happen? Because you have to take up the cross. That's really what Jesus is asking is, when we follow him and he's asking us to take up the cross, he's asking us, are you willing? Not that all these things will happen to you, but are you willing to allow them to happen? Are you willing, knowing that? Are you willing to take up the cross knowing they could? If there comes a point in your life where you're faced with a choice, Jesus or the comforts of this life, which will we choose? Which will we choose? Commitment to Christ means taking up your cross daily. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Commitment to the cross means to take up your cross daily. It's not one of those things where you set it down and, hey, I'll pick it up in a week, or you set it down and I'll pick it up in a month. Hey, I'll set it down this year, but I'll come back around next year and pick it up. No, to carry your cross is a thing that we're supposed to do daily. Committing to Christ means to be willing to give up your plans, your possessions, your dreams, and even your life, if need be, for the cause of Christ. Luke 14:27 says it this way. It says, and whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Commitment to Christ, if you're willing to take up your cross, may you really be called his disciple. The reward is worth the price. Jesus followed his call of death to self when he said, take up your cross and follow me with the gift of life in Christ. Because in Mark 8:35 it says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. If you try to do it on your own, I'm going to save, you'll end up losing your life. But whoever loses his life, meaning whoever gives it away so that you could take up the cross, will find it. It was interesting when we was on that road and we were carrying that cross, we each took turns. I talked about that a second ago. We would take turns. It was an interesting dynamic because some carried longer. Some really carried for a long time. They might a quarter mile or a half mile or a mile of it they would carry. Cross gets heavy pretty quick. That was a pretty heavy, I mean, it was solid wood. It had a wheel, and so that helped roll it, but you're still, it's on your shoulder. Some carried longer, and some carried shorter distances. Some were stronger than others. Some most walked with the cross. You know, they had it on their shoulder and they just walked and they put it. We had to put a cushion there, you know, so that it would rest on your shoulder and you could walk and it would just roll on the wheel there. But some even ran just for fun, I guess. Some of the guys had not. That was probably during the first 10 miles, but they ran. They just thought it would be fun to jog it out. And then the group caught up with them after a while. And some provided the muscle. There was some that just, you know, some of our group was stronger, and so they could carry longer, they could carry. Some couldn't. Others that couldn't carry, they just provided the encouragement. They walked it, but they never actually carried the physical cross, but they encouraged those who were carrying it. You got this. You got this. Some people carried just one time during their whole 40-mile journey. They just did it one time. They did it because they wanted to be a part of carrying the cross, but they weren't real strong, and they knew they weren't going to be able to do it for very long. Others carried multiple times. But the fact remains that we needed each person to share the burden to finish the journey. Not one person, I don't think, not in the time that we did it, not one person was going to be able to do that 40 miles all by themselves. What I want you to understand is this, is that the cross was never intended to carry alone. We as a body, the body of believers, the body of Christ, walk together for the cause of Christ. And so we encourage one another. We see people trying to carry the cross. We see people in difficult situations. We see people dealing with situations within their work, where they're being persecuted, within their family, within their community, whatever it may be, within with their finances or for whatever reason. And we encourage one another. We see when some are getting weak, and on that trip, some were getting tired, and so we'd pick them up, we'd say, hey, I got this. And so the next person would carry it. And so we lift one another up. We pick up one another's burdens when the weight becomes too much. Have you ever been in a place where the weight of life became too much? That's part of carrying the cross, is when your weight is too much, the body of Christ surrounds together that person and helps them to lift their cross and carry it together. So my challenge today is that may we honor our Savior by daily carrying the cross, never putting it down. There'll be times when we need encouragement. There'll be times when we need others to help us. There'll be times when we need to be lifted up. There'll be times when we're the strongest. But may we never put the cross down. For the cross is the symbol of salvation for our world. Amen? Amen. Would you stand up with me today? Would you stand up today? The worship team is going to lead us in a song. And as they do, we're going to open up the altars for just a few minutes. We got plenty of time. Don't leave yet, because we're going to do communion at the end of service. And go ahead and go. And so, Lord, I pray right now for every person in this place. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would just help us as we carry the cross, the burden of salvation, but Lord, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we would set aside, Lord, the things that get in the way, that we would take those things out of our hands so we could use our hands to carry the cross. And Lord, may you, Lord, lift us up. May you would strengthen us, and may you help us to never give up. In Jesus' name, amen. While they sing, which the altars are open, if you need prayer, I'd love to pray with you this morning. And then in just a few minutes, we're going to take communion together, okay?
The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on.
Know that we serve a God who will never lose. The blood will never lose the power. Amen. Amen. We're on the winning team. We're on the winning team. What I'm going to do is, as you continue to play, I'm going to ask everybody to be seated. The ushers are going to come. They're going to give the offering, the communion. We're going to do offering. We're going to take another offering. Feeling extra generous today. We're going to receive communion today. Don't you just love our ushers? They do an awesome job. Let's give a hand to our ushers today. Amen. 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 You know, we do communion once a month. Usually it's the first Sunday of the month. And I've talked to Pastor before about this. We never want it to just be something we do. It's not something we do. It's a remembrance and an honoring of what Christ did for us. You know, sometimes we are forgetful people. Not that we don't know that something happened, but we just, it goes to the back of our minds. And I think it's a refreshing, and I challenge you to make it a refreshing of your mind every month as we take communion of the basis of our salvation right here when Jesus had his body broken, his blood spilled for us. Amen? Amen? The Lord is so good. Not quite everybody served yet. Want to wait? Then we're going to read you a passage here. Mark chapter 14. Scripture talks about Jesus being with the disciples. I wonder, as he was with the disciples, if they fully had an understanding. Even at this moment, they'd been with him, right? All this time, did they really fully have an understanding of all that? I'd say no. They didn't know all that was to come. They didn't know all that was going to come to the early church. And yet, even though they didn't believe it, God had placed inside of them, Jesus had placed inside of them and equipped them to do the work of the early church. So if you take your cups, thank you, ushers. In Mark chapter 14, verse 22, it says, "And while they were eating, Jesus took..." Thank you. It says, "While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take it. This is my body.'" Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice you made. Jesus, for your body being broken on that cross. Broken. Not for anything that you had done, because, Lord, you were sinless. But, Lord, you took upon the punishment for our sins. Lord, you were the only one that could do it, because you were the only sinless one. And we thank you as this day we remember your body being broken. Would you take the bread? And in verse 23, it says, "And then he took the cup and gave thanks and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. He said, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many.' He said to them, 'Lord, I thank you for your blood being spilt, for there's power in the blood that washes away, wipes away our sin. Now, Lord, if any man or woman on earth would simply ask for forgiveness of their sins, they would make a commitment to follow you. Lord, you said that your blood would wash away their sin, where they would have salvation. And so today, as we take of this cup, Lord, we do so remembering that salvation came through the spilling of your blood. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you take the hand of the person next to you, if there's a person next to you? And let's do this. Let's offer up a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord as we end this service today. How many of you would say we can't be too thankful for the Lord? And even more, we can't be too thankful for the cross. Lord, we lift up our hands to you today. Lord, we lift up their hands as we hold them together. We lift them up asking, Lord, that you would help us as we carry the cross. Would you help us as we daily pick up our cross and follow you? Follow the example that you led. Follow the example that you gave. And Lord, we thank you for the cross, and we thank you for the sacrifice you made. Lord, we thank you that without the cross, we would be destined for death. But because of the cross, we've been promised life, a life more abundantly. Lord, we thank you today. We leave this place with a thankful heart and with a heart challenged, knowing that the cross represents not only what you did for us, but what now we can do for you. We're going to carry the cross. We're going to tell people about you. that they may too be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. Carry your cross. Tell someone about Jesus. Love you. See you on Wednesday.